The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they got together. And to disconcert him, one of them put a question. Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second resembles it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets also. The Gospel of the Lord.
In all our readings this morning, there is a common theme, because there's a theme of people loving the group of people so much that they will lead them no matter what. We have Moses. Now, Moses is with the Israelites, and he's trying to get to the Promised Land. He's just come down. This piece of scripture is just after he comes down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. He goes up there. We're all with you, Moses. When he comes down with the Ten Commandments, they're worshipping an idol. They've already fallen away. And constantly through the journey to the Promised Land, the Israelites fall away. Moses will say something to them, yes, we're with you. But then something happens and off they go. But Moses loves them so much, he's not going to abandon them. You know, he could say to them, do you know, if you're going to keep doing this, stay in the desert. I'm off back to Egypt. You know, forget it. Promised Land, not happening. You just won't listen to me. But he doesn't. He keeps going. And of course, poor old Moses is so worn out by the end of it, he doesn't get to the Promised Land. Somebody else has to take them in. But you know, there's Moses, he loves them so much. For all their faults and all the things they get wrong, he keeps leading them through that desert. Then we have St. Paul. And St. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, I think it's the earliest letter we have. You know, if you date the letters of St. Paul, it's the earliest letter we have. So therefore, it's probably one of the earliest Christian writings we have. You know, and Paul is going to face the same problem. The people will fall away. But he doesn't abandon them. He keeps with them, and he will lead them. You know, and he'll go on his different journeys, his different travels. And he himself will end up in Rome, where he'll have to go. And he'll meet his martyrdom there. So St. Paul loves the people, and he keeps leading them, although they will get it wrong time and again. And then we come to the Gospel, and there's Jesus. And Jesus is coming towards the end of his journey in the Gospel of Matthew. And he gives us what we think is so simple. Two commandments. How simple is that? But how simple is it? When I was reading this Gospel, it did put me in mind of the parish I was in up in London, in a place called Cranford, right next to Heathrow. And I went out to do a communion visit and went in and, you know, had a nice cup of tea and biscuits and all the rest of it. And the little girl who's making communion came in. She had three or four sisters. And she said, have you ever played computer games, Father? I said, of course I have. You know, I've played a few computer games. Well, she just got a Wii. You know, this Wii computer where you do everything interactive. She said, why don't we have a contest? I said, yeah, no problem. I thought, bless her, you know, eight, no problem. Do you realise who you're taking on here, dear? Anyway, so I said, yeah, we'll have a. So we did some bowling and we played golf. That was all right. And then it came to, she said, do you want to have a boxing match? I said, now, in my younger day, I boxed for Edgware Boys Club up in London. So, you know, I've done a bit myself and all the rest of it. And I thought, yeah, no problem. Come on, we'll have a boxing game. I thought, I'll go easy with her. So I've got the two gadgets in my hand and I'm, you know, all the usual. And she's going like that. Boom, I'm knocked out. I said, hold up there a minute. Which button are you not telling me about? No, there's no button. I'm telling you everything. I said, you sure? She said, yeah, right, let's have another round. So she's, and by this point, I'm getting into it. You know, I'm all this business now with the computer, you know, nearly hitting the television. And she's going, and I'm knocked out again. I said, look, you're not telling me what button should I be pressing here to get this right. And she said, no. She said, I'm giving you all the information. I said, another round. And at which point the mother came and she said, Father, it's school tomorrow. it's getting to be 9 o'clock. I said, fine, we're having another round. She said, okay. So she said, one more round. At which point the girl said, I'll let you win. I said, you'll let no one win. I said, you're going to keep going the way we were going. I said, now tell me what button you're pressing, and then we can have an equal. She said, I'm telling you all the buttons. So we went again, and she's gone like this. And she knocked me out. And she said, I can't do anything else, Father, apart from... I said, that's fine. Okay. I didn't mean to... I said, you haven't upset me. He said, bedtime, off you go. And so I said to the mother, it's your turn. She said, oh, no, I don't really play. I said, put the cup of tea down. Come on. We're going to say no reason. But, you know, I often think of that, how sometimes we think we have perfection. You know, I've done a bit of boxing. I thought I knew how to box. But yet she kept knocking. And then I'm saying, but what do I do to get it perfect? She said, but I'm giving you everything. I said, no, you're not. There's a button I should be... There's something I should be doing. And, you know, when we look at them two commandments, to love God, well, we can kind of do that because he's perfect. We kind of have an idea that he loves us, so therefore we can love him. We can't really see him, but we can have an idea of what he's like. And we know he's all loving, so we can love him. How do we love our neighbour? And how do we love, you know, literally ourselves? And the hardest thing is we have to realise that we're not perfect. You know, there's no magic button you can press to make yourself perfect. If there was, I would have pressed it long time ago. It doesn't exist. But yet we have everything we need to be perfect. But yet we just can't do it. You know, each one of us is broken in some way. Each one of us have crosses to bear. And each one of us at times would love to press the button which would make it all go perfect. But we don't have it. Yet God has given us everything we need to try and attain it. And the great thing is, although we get it wrong, God, like Moses and St. Paul, will always be there for us. He'll always lead us. We'll muck up so many times, but he never says, you're on your own, forget it. He's always there. And why do I talk about loving ourselves? Because it doesn't talk about that in the gospel, but it implies it. Because how do you love a neighbour? How can you love someone else? It's by realising that they're broken as well. How often do we look at someone else and we think they've got it sorted? They've got it sussed. Look at them, skipping down the road. You know, da-da-da-da. Oh, life is brilliant for them. But it isn't. Life might be brilliant at that moment in time, but there's something inside of them that's broken. And the only way we can begin to love someone else is to realise they're broken and it's not perfect for them. And how can you begin to do that? To realise we're broken and we're not perfect. And so although them commandments seem so easy, they're not. They're tough. How do we love neighbour? It's by loving the faults that that person has, by somehow trying to love the faults we have. I remember I was doing a wedding up in London, up in Hammersmith, lovely part of town. It was in Hammersmith, beautiful church. Not as beautiful as this church, but it's a beautiful church. Better say the right thing here, hadn't I? Anyway, I was doing this wedding, and a couple come in, and, you know, ideal. He could have been a model, she could have been a model. They look ideal. And there was this old couple down the back, and they came, they used to do the flowers and bits and pieces before a wedding. And she was there waiting with the Hoover for the confetti. That confetti gets everywhere, Father. I'm ready. And her husband was alongside, and I said, how long have you been married, out of interest? And he went, oh, he said, far too long, far too long. And she's looking at him, you know, Hoover in the hand. I thought, he's going to get a belt of that in a minute. Anyway, so how long is it? She said, oh, she said, it's a good while now, Father, good while now. So I said to him, so what is love then? How do you remain in love? How do you keep it? What's the magic thing for keeping love? He said, tell you what love is, Father. He said, it's when you fall asleep of an evening. He said, you get a nice glass of water. And you think, now if I wake up in the night, I can have a nice drink if I'm a bit dry. He said, and you wake up, you have a drink, and you realise your wife's false teeth are at the bottom of the glass. And you don't shove her out of bed. And she's red. She's gone red at this point. And she just went, carry on. Carry on. And I said to her, I said, so what is love for you? She said, putting up with him. And I think of that often because, you know, why were they still together? Because in some way, they loved each other for their perfections, but they also loved the faults. They loved the eccentricities. They loved everything about each other. And so when we think of God, he loves everything about us. It's not just when we're perfect. In some ways, he loves it when we get it wrong, because he loves us so much. He wants us to get it right, but we don't always get it right. He loves us no matter what happens, no matter what we do. I often think of that old couple. You know, and sometimes we don't get on with people, and we think to ourselves, why can't I get on with them? You know, my sister, I love her a bit, but we can't get on sometimes. And it's because we've got the same faults. In some ways, that there's things I'm not good at, she's not good at. So we blame my mother. But anyway, you know, there's things she's not good at, I'm not good at. And we clash. Because she knows what buttons to press in me, and I know what buttons to press in her. Let's have a game of rounders, because I know she can't play it. And she'll say to me, all right, let's have a game of Irish dancing. And you know, no, I can do it. You pick the things you're not good at, because you know each other so well. But I do think, when we think of them two commandments, it's God loves us, faults and all. How can we ever try and love neighbour? It's be trying to love the faults we have. Because in some way, it's the faults and the eccentricities that make us who we are and make us realise that we need God. Because if we're perfect, we don't need him. If we get things wrong, we need him. It makes us realise we need God. How do we love neighbour? By realising they get it wrong as well. And because they get it wrong, they need God. So in some ways, that gospel ties the other two readings together. And I think the thing to take away for this week, as we walk through the town, if you see someone and you think, God, they're perfect, remember they're not. And if you think to yourself, I'm perfect, remember you're not. And the beauty of both them situations is we all realize that we need God to help us be that little bit more perfect.